Good evening, ladies. I want to do something this evening that I don't think I've ever done before, and I want to repeat a message that I shared with you previously. It was back in October 2011, so it's nearly 11 years ago, and I want to do it for a number of reasons. Firstly, some of you will never have heard of it. Secondly, it gives those of us that have heard it before an opportunity to reflect on how our walk with God has changed over those years. And thirdly, it's a message that's as relevant to us today as it was 11 years ago. And hopefully it will encourage us all to press on into that higher calling of our Lord. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy upon our lives. We ask that you speak afresh to our hearts and draw us ever closer to yourself, that we might reflect your glory in this world by the lives we live. Help and strengthen us, fill us with your Spirit, and guide our every step, we ask. Amen. I want to begin by reading from Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 18. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. From the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me round on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again he measured and brought me through, and the water came to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Gallium. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of tree used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." Here the prophet Ezekiel is shown a river that flows from the temple of God. And as the river is measured, it becomes increasingly deeper. First it just covers his ankles, then his knees, then it's up to his waist. And finally it's so deep he cannot stand and he must swim. Ezekiel is told that the river will bring blessings of healing, life and food wherever it goes. If you and I desire the blessing of God upon our lives and families, then we need to launch out into the deep things of God. We should not be content to stand on the side and merely watch that river flow by. We should not be content just to paddle in the shallows. We need to launch out into the deep and fully immerse ourselves in the things of God. Learning to swim naturally is one of those important childhood rites of passage that it brings not only a measure of safety to our children, but it provides healthy exercise, and as their confidence grows, it's a great deal of pleasure and many new opportunities. But the process of learning to swim can be daunting as a child. I remember when I was little and I was learning to swim, I had an accident in the sea and I almost drowned, and I was fearful of the water for a long, long time after that. But that my dad constantly was encouraging me to get back into the water and to learn to swim. And seeing my sister and my brother enjoying themselves, it emboldened me, and I faced my fears and learned to overcome them. And eventually I did learn to swim. I'm still not a good swimmer or a strong swimmer, but I can enjoy the experience as long as you don't splash me too much. My kids have always loved the water and are all good swimmers. And it was a major highlight of all our family holidays, was messing about in the pool or in the sea. And now you and I may find sometimes that serving God can seem a daunting and a fearful thing at times, but we need to face that fears and overcome them. And by following the example of others and with the encouragement of others, we can do that. Jesus told us in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes... Oh, sorry, I'll read that again. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The devil wants to rob us of the blessings of serving God in our lives. He wants to keep us on the edges of the river, in amongst the salt flats where nothing grows or lives. He wants our lives full of fear and anxiety. He wants us kept bound up in self-reliance rather than our dependency on God. And self-reliance is the enemy of God in our lives. I'll say that again, it's very important. Self-reliance is the enemy of God in our lives. God wants you and I to rely on him because he is able. When we are in the water and we can paddle in the shallows, we feel in our heads and on our own thinking that, well, I'm on safe ground, I'm near to the shore, I'm close to the edge, I can get out if I need to. And we have this false sense of security. When we go a little deeper, we still feel that firm ground underneath our feet. But we can also feel the surge and the pull of the pressure of the water against our knees. But we still feel like we are in control. We're still relying on our self-confidence. But if we dare to go even deeper and we feel that force of water pulling us from that firm footing and seemingly further from the bank, then we fear being swept away. To swim, we must give up the security not only of the bank, but of our firm footing. We have to surrender ourselves to the water and learn to use its strength and its buoyancy and its power to move us where we want to go. And the river of life that flows from the temple of God is no different. We need to learn to leave behind all the false securities of the bank and our firm footing or firm ground and surrender ourselves to God, to his strength. He will lift us up. He will keep our heads above the water. His strength will enable us to move freely. His strength will provide all the enabling power we will ever need. Good and confident swimmers don't need to keep their faces above the water. They aim for a point, close their eyes, take a deep breath, and kick off in the right direction. Now, Alan and the girls can swim a length of a swimming pool underwater. Now, I can't, but they can. They're good swimmers. Good swimmers turn their heads to the side to breathe, never needing to lift their faces from the water. They can press on until they reach their goal. You and I need to learn not only to be swimmers, but to be good swimmers in the river of life. Every cross-channel swimmer has learnt to swim somewhere, probably in the safety of a swimming pool with others present to help them and encourage them when needed. These cross-channel swimmers, they have to develop their skills. Bit by bit, they learn to swim in rivers, in oceans, against winds and waves and tides and currents. Excuse me. They learn how to overcome the cold, the pain, the fatigue, and to develop the determination to press on till they reach the other side. Excuse me. Our God is the perfect instructor in life. He will guide our every step. He will not allow you to face challenges, but that he knows that will only the ones that will make you stronger and better and more victorious. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." We need to learn to be cross-channel swimmers in the river of life, to learn to overcome all the obstacles, all the barriers, all the challenges that will ever come our way, and to persevere and to press on in until we reach eternity. Launching out into the deep starts by taking a first step into the river. But many of us have been paddling about in the shallows for far too long. We may have even ventured up to our waists and felt that power and surge and force of the rushing waters against us, but feared to surrendering to the waters and have to return to the shallows. But we need to overcome our fears and launch out into the deep and surrender ourselves to the will of God. When we learn to swim, we begin by learning to float. We learn to trust the buoyancy of the water. We learn to trust that it will take our weight and hold us up. And we do it by relaxing, by surrendering ourselves to the water. If you're anxious and fretful and splashing your arms and legs about in a fearful frenzy, you're probably going to sink yourselves and maybe others who are trying to help you. But as we relax and rest and ourselves back in the water, our feet will lift from the floor and our bodies will float. No one is too heavy. Water can hold each and every one of us up. We need to learn to float in that river of God, to relax and learn to trust God that he will keep us safe, that he will hold us up. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them." God is our refuge. God is our strength. God will uphold us. Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hallelujah. God is with us. When we're fearful, when we're anxious, when we're striving to achieve in our own abilities, we will flounder and we will fall. But Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 30, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Water has that wonderful property of buoyancy. Weights become lighter in water because of buoyancy. Burdens become easier because of buoyancy. Exercise is less stressful and damaging to the muscles because of buoyancy. And so it is with serving God. As we rest our lives fully upon the promises of God, the difficulties, the effort, and the burdens of life become so much easier. You can't see buoyancy, you can only experience its effect. And you can't see God, but we can experience the effect of trusting God with our lives. Even when the storms and the waves blow into our lives, the buoyancy of God will never fail us. Self-effort, anxiety and fear will cause us to become weary. They'll cause us to sink under the burdens. But as we trust God and rest upon his word, he will safely come through all that life can send our way. We need to trust God. We need to trust God's word, and we need to obey God's word. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Don't trust yourself, trust God. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Don't just trust what I say. Trust what the word of God says. Go back to the Bible. Check it out and see if it is what I'm saying. Don't be a hearer only. James 1:22-25 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Launching out into the deep is the call of God upon our lives. Learning to surrender to God's will for our lives, to God's truth in our lives, the purpose and the timing of God in our lives. It will bring all the blessing of food, life and health that we will ever need. We can fully trust upon the atoning work of Christ. We can fully trust in the promises of God, and we can fully rely on the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Life is like a river. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's in full flood. Sometimes it's in drought. Sometimes it's in peaceful meanderings. Sometimes it's in turbulent rapids. But whatever comes our way, we can trust God. As we surrender to God and learn to swim in the river of life, we can overcome all of life's obstacles, every temptation that we can overcome this world, our flesh, and the devil through faith in Jesus Christ, who overcame and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding for you and I. What a wonderful thing. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." We have an eternal destiny and an eternal calling that waits on the other shore, but we have to swim to reach it. Revelations 15:2 says, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God." Ezra 7:10 says, "Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." You and I must prepare our hearts. We must seek to know our God. We must seek to understand his laws. And we must be careful and faithful to obey all that we learn. And we must share the truth and teach others the same. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. A.W. Tozer said this, "I want deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. The lack of it has brought us to our present low estate. The stiff wooden quality about our religious lives is a result of our lack of holy desire. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present, or there'll be no manifestation of Christ to his people. He waits to be wanted. The shallowness of our inner experience reflects in the hollowness of our worship. Amazing words written there. He waits to be wanted. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to need him. God wants us to call upon him. What a wonderful and awful thought that God is waiting to be wanted. How much we need him. We need not fear that seeking God will inhibit and narrow our life's experience or restrict our actions, but rather we should trust God, because the opposite is true. God is seeking people who will trust him and call upon him. God will enhance and enlarge our hearts and our minds and our lives. I want to just read to you some quotes from the Book of Psalms. I'm not going to give you each of the references, but if you want them, just ask me and I'll get them for you. But I just want you to listen to the scriptures and what they say. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, and my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. When thou said to me, seek my face, my heart said to thee, Lord, thy face I will seek. We need to prepare our hearts to seek God, to launch out into the deep things of God. Psalm 53 and verse 2 said, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. God is looking for a people who will seek him, obey him, and trust him. I want to be one of those people. I want to be pleasing and useful to my God. I want this church to be pleasing and useful to him. I want us to be a people that know our God and do great exploits. But we need to learn to swim. Physically learning to swim may save your life at some point, but spiritually learning to swim will save your life for all of eternity and ensure that you have all the spiritual food and health that you will ever need. So please, I implore you, learn to swim. Launch out into the deep. Leave behind all your false securities of the shore and the salt flats, and rest yourself fully upon the promises of God and the word of God, and surrender to his will and his purpose for your life. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we desire to know you more, but our cowardly hearts fear to give up our false securities. We come humbly before you this evening and ask that you give each of us the wisdom, power, and grace to fully surrender our lives daily into your care. Root out self-confidence and build our faith and trust in the rock that shall never be moved. Fill us with the knowledge of yourself, your will, and your purposes, that our lives may reflect your glory. Amen. God bless you all.